G'day, Denny. How are you today, mate?
Morning, Jen. So I enjoyed your call, Shane, saying no one kicked on after leaving the Melbourne Storm. I think that Cooper Cronk went all right.
Yeah, then we thought about we went English, Folau. There's a few others.
I like the theory anyway.
There was a fair few text messages within about 30 seconds saying that Cooper Cronk, to say the least. What happens next, though, at Red Hill? This has been just... Well, it's been a story that, in fact, first, Denny, we're going to listen to the comments made by Brisbane's biggest private shareholder, Phil Murphy. Let's have a listen to them, which you exposed yesterday or reported yesterday on the Nine Network. Let's have a listen.
It's like having a cancer and it hasn't been cut out. If you don't treat the cancer, mate, you die. And that's what, unfortunately and sadly, I don't want to see the Broncos die, mate.
Yeah, that audio courtesy of the Nine Network. Denny, that's that were very, very, I think, harsh comments has been the feedback from a lot of our listeners, and certainly when you look at social media. So now what happens next?
Well, they were poorly constructed comments, and they were made to Adam Jackson, our reporter up in Brisbane, who's actually up at the Horn Fight where Phil Murphy is. So, they were, I don't know if they were smart comments at all, but... In Murphy's case, I think he's really peeved that he's a 22% owner of the Broncos and he doesn't find out anything unless he reads it in the paper. So that's he's not really consulted on a lot of things that are going on up there, and that's why he's coming out and saying things, not very well thought out things in that sense, but that's his frustration, I believe. And what happens next is Anthony Seibold has to go, and it's just a matter of how much money he's going to get. It's quite a... On the surface, quite a simple thing. He won't be the coach, they're looking. The mail is increasing that Kevvy Walters is a very good chance of getting it. In fact, people will tell you that Kevvy's already been speaking to Brisbane players about his potential arrival at the Broncos, and obviously Kevvy won't confirm those things. But players are happy to say that they've heard from Kevvy Walters.
Danny, where do the Broncos sit legally if Anthony Seibold says, no, I'm not going anywhere unless you sack me?
Well, they're in trouble, aren't they? They've got a... Look, we inquired all year about clauses and whether they had ability to get out of this really badly structured deal from the Broncos' point of view. And we got mixed messages with... the CEO at one point coming out and saying there were performance clauses, and then other people saying, well, there aren't. So we have to assume there are no clauses, and that's a massive mistake from the Brisbane management, because you're signing what was effectively a rookie coach to a long-term deal and not having a way to parachute out of it if you're the Broncos. That's poor management.
Denny, am I right in thinking that it was a five-year deal plus an option in Seibold's favour?
Exactly what I've heard. 5 years plus an option. I've had other people try and tell me it was 4 years. And again, you just can't... In a lot of cases, you can't get a straight answer out of the Broncos, but that's the initial report that I had, 5 years plus an option in Seibold's favour. So, you know, he's looking at millions of dollars. I think Anthony Seibold has been a failure at the club, and there's no other way of describing it, but he's entitled to have his contract honoured to some degree. And if you're being offered $1 million, sounds terrific, but where does Anthony Seibold get his next million after that?
Yeah, and that's exactly right, Denny. And when he's owed $3 million, I think most people in his situation are going to hang around until they, one, either punt him and pay him out in full, or... they agree to a severance package and they both shake hands and move on. So we all agree that he won't be there next year, but it's just a matter of how this marriage ends.
Yeah, and that's always the hard part, but that's what lawyers are paid good money for, and I reckon they'll be in negotiations again first thing today.
Denny, the other big story I wanted to ask you about, and I read this in your column in the Sydney Morning Herald on Sunday, was... the alleged third parties paid to Tafita Pengai Jr. Now, you said in that article that you believe that the NRL didn't know about some of them. Is that right?
Look, it's a very interesting story, Laurie, and potentially an explosive story. Now, the latest on it, first of all, is that Penguy went to the integrity unit yesterday with a lawyer, and he opened up completely about his situation at the Broncos. Now, this is something that would have a lot of people in the game very concerned if these third-party deals were not disclosed to the NRL and were unregistered. Now, if that's the case, this has massive ramifications for the Broncos and for the game. Penguy has come out, and from what I'm told, and no one wants to give away too much information on this story, he has been completely honest and open, and the meeting with the integrity unit is said to have gone for several hours. So this has got real potential to shake up the game, provided Penguy's claims and can be proved, whether any of these deals were written down or whether they were just on a handshake or a wink and a nudge, who knows? But I mean, if some of these things are proved, it's a massive concern for the Broncos.
Yeah, and you would think that a lot of people will lose their positions over that if they are proven.
Well, look, exactly right. Laurie, look, I don't know exactly why Penguy is coming forward, but if it's to eradicate situations that has obviously happened to him and could happen to other players throughout the game, if this is some sort of stance by Penguy, I don't know if it is, but if it is, he deserves some credit for that. If he's taking a broader view that this happens to players throughout the game and enough is enough, well, good on him for doing that, because someone's got to stand up for the players and someone's got to, you know, call this sort of thing out. So while Penguy mightn't be that popular for his COVID breaches and lack of clear decision-making there, yeah, he deserves credit. He deserves some credit here for telling the truth. And yes, I think the entire Brisbane board, who should already be very nervous about the whole Seabold situation. I mean, the only one who stood up for Penguy, by the way, is Darren Lockyer, a former player, and he deserves some credit there. But I think the entire Brisbane board and the chairman and the CEO should be very worried about, firstly, their role in the Seabold signing, but potentially, if all of this is going to come to fruition with Penguy, I think it has the potential to, put all of their positions in jeopardy.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because if they're found to have been, dealing in, getting involved in third-party deals and not telling the NRL, then they will lose their positions. But it seems like it's a bit of a dumb play then by the Broncos if they're putting all this pressure on Tevita Penguy Jr. to sack him, knowing that they've been complicit in organising third-party deals.
Oh, I find it fascinating. As I said, I'm not sure of Penguy's motivation, but I think that the feeling I get is he's taking a stance, perhaps because other players might have been in this sort of situation as well, where deals haven't been honoured, and maybe he's sick of all of that. And what I also find fascinating, Laurie, is that on the day that I broke the story in the Sun Herald, which has obviously ramifications for the Broncos, that evening, all of a sudden, after the Broncos have said all the way through that we're going to give Seabold to the end of the year, we see a story come out that all of a sudden Anthony Seabold is gone and he's going to be given $1 million. I'm into conspiracy theories, and there's one for me right there, because that takes away a bit of attention from the current plight with the Penguy situation, because the Seabold one is going to swamp it for a little while, whilst maybe they can get their ducks in a row.
And now moving on to the Dragons, and in the back page of the Herald today, Michael Chemis has written that Anthony Griffin's the early front runner there to replace Paul McGregor full time. Dean Young made a winning start to his interim role last Friday night against the Broncos. What are you hearing in regard to the Dragons' next full time coach?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting story from Michael Chemis, because you have to look at what potential coaches are available with experience, and the ones you look at are the likes of Griffin, and the one who's not getting a lot of mention is Paul Green, and you've also got David Ferner, who would do a very good job. But I think that obviously Griffin is one who's applied for a number of positions, And yes, he's definitely right in contention. They're definitely talking about Griffin, and because they've come out and said they need someone with experience and with a defence mentality. Now, I don't know if whether Anthony Griffin's necessarily known for that. He has got some experience. His last experience wasn't good at Penrith. He was shown the door by that club. So I think it's an interesting one. Is he the long-term solution for the Dragons? It doesn't fill me with huge confidence. But I think the Dragons are in a situation where, you know, the choices aren't that huge.
Where does Craig Fitzgibbon sit in all this, Denny? Because he seems as though he'd be the logical fit. Now, do you know whether he'd consider breaking the contract at the Roosters because he's from Wollongong, played for the club, still lives down there and would be prepared to coach them? Or is he adamant that, nah, he's going to stick with the Roosters?
Laurie, I think Craig Fitzgibbon has been the number one choice for... He was definitely the number one choice for the Warriors. I think he was definitely right towards the top of the list for the Cowboys. And I think if he suddenly rang the Dragons and said, hey, I'm available, I think they'd take him. I think he's the one that they'd really want to have there. He has made a commitment to Nick Politis. And from everything that I'm getting told, he'll honour that commitment to both Trent Robinson and Nick Politis. And even like Fitzy's considered to be the next big thing. But again, he's yet to show it on his own. Like, he's doing a tremendous job with the Roosters. Laurie, your name comes up again and again.
My name gets linked with everything.
Oh, no, it's amazing.
I've been linked with... What was the other one?
You're batting coach of the Aussie cricket team as well.
Oh, there was one earlier this year I was linked with too. I can't remember which one.
Matildas?
You get linked. Yeah.
Matildas.
It's better they're talking about your life.
That's exactly right, Denny. That's
going
exactly
nowhere.
Right.
I'm not letting him.
Denny, tell me, do you have any more info on Cameron Smith? Obviously, there's a lot going around at the moment, and it feels like from the outside there's a lot of pressure on him to make a decision for all parties that are involved. But we heard some comments from his old man just yesterday. Do you have any more info on that and what you think he'll do?
Pop, I'm not going to lie to the listeners. I don't get on with Cameron Smith, so I don't have a pipeline to him.
Yeah.
But every indication I'm getting is retirement from or leaving the Storm. It seems to be what will happen. He runs a risk of being branded selfish if he stays on with the Melbourne club and all of a sudden they lose a couple of 10-year potential players. Yeah. I don't think Cameron Smith would want that. You'd hope, given he was critical of also of Cooper Cronk when he left the Storm for the Roosters, I don't think he wants to be would want to be branded a hypocrite in any way. But I don't have any magical pipeline to Cameron Smith. I'd be saying he'll finish up the Storm. The interesting one is the Titans. Five or six weeks ago, I had a tip off that Cameron Smith would be going to play for the Titans. I put it to them. I wrote about it. I talked about it, and it's been denied to me on every single level. But that's where his family's going to settle from everything I've been told. And you know, stranger things have happened in rugby league, but that would be a strange one.
Yeah, we'll be watching with interest, Denny. Great to talk to you as always, mate.
Thanks, guys.